Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, hope everybody had a great, great weekend, a great Father's Day weekend. Welcome to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you. Glad to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Boy, the golf was pretty awesome, and I did not watch a ton of it. We had a lot of baseball this weekend, a lot of travel baseball, so I was doing that. But yesterday, actually went to the driving range in the evening. Like, yeah, Father's Day, go to the driving range, get some ice cream, did that. And then by the time I got home, golf was still on, which was great. I'm like, okay, let's watch this. Last, what, six holes or so? Man, what a putt from J.J. Spaun. Incredible. Did you watch that, Josh? Were you watching live when he hit the putt?
I actually missed it live because I didn't realize the weather delay stopped, and my dad and I started watching a movie instead, and then I just... Ooh. Looked at my phone and saw J.J. Spaun wins, and I was like, wait, when did it restart? Like, I just completely missed the weather delay was over.
Oh,
so
yeah.
But that putt was incredible. Like, I couldn't imagine, you know, hitting a putt like that and to win the U.S. Open, let alone that, too. Like, that 64 feet, that's a long – on those greens, if he would have missed that, that ball would have gone a mile off the green, I think.
I don't know about a mile off, but I do agree with you that to me, it appeared when it was heading there, I turned to Jan and Max. We were all watching and I go, oh, that's too far. I mean, that's too far. And then bam, it just sank. I agree with you that if he misses, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, it's a birdie putt. Go after it. For him, it's like, hey, just go after it. You know, don't leave it short. And he didn't. To me, that was going, I don't know, a good 5-6 feet pass. And then he would have had an interesting, because it was slowing down. Because if you look, who was he playing? It was Victor Hovland, right? And Hovland actually did that. And Hovland went past it by a few feet, but then it kind of stopped. But man, what a great all-time moment at the U.S. Open from a guy that was so unexpected. Do you know what his odds were before the tournament, Josh? Did you see that?
I think
I saw it
was like plus 1,500 or something like that. Or 15,000 even?
Plus 150, I think. 151. So 15,000 on a $100 bet, yes.
Right, yeah. That's crazy.
I know, right? So if you would have bet $100... before the tournament on J.J. Spaun, I think it was worth $150,000 on a $15,000, excuse me, on a $100 bet. And I think after he bogeyed the first five of six holes, It got up to like 240 or something like that, you know? So yeah. What an incredible moment. And Father's Day weekend, you usually get a basketball game. We didn't have that. I think in the past, I think Jordan actually won it on Father's Day weekend one time. It was shortly after his dad was killed. And I remember like him in the locker room crying with the famous iconic shot of him on the floor with the trophy crying. I think that might have been on Father's Day, if I remember, but I could be wrong if I, you know, thinking back. I think the NBA has traditionally played on Father's Day for the NBA Finals. They didn't this year. The Stanley Cup, also still going on. They did not play yesterday. That's going to happen. You know what's funny? You think about this, Josh. After tonight, both the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals are both going to be 3-2 in some way, shape, or form.
Which is great for people that want to keep watching the finals. Like, I'm hoping for Game 7 in both just because I don't want sports to end. But it's also just been, you know, really intense playoffs so far for both leagues, which is great to see.
And if you think about it, the NBA starts a month after the NHL, right? They start in November. The NHL starts in October, but they always end right around the same time. Now, in a year like this, you also had the Four Nations, so it does push the NHL a little bit, right? But even when they don't, they just have a regular All-Star game, it's usually right around the same time, maybe a week later for the NBA. But this year it's ending. I mean, conceivably, the NBA, I think, could end before the NHL. I think I have to look at the exact schedule, which, you know, and I think that's happened in the past, Olympic years, things like that. So tonight you have game five between the Pacers and the Thunder. I think the Pacers, the way I look at it, I'm kind of rooting for the Pacers. I like the fact that, you know, it's the Pacers. They haven't been there in a while. They've never won one since the ABA. I like Halliburton. I think the Thunder will be around for a while. They're young. Not that the Pacers won't, but I think the Thunder will have some shots at it. I'm rooting for the Pacers, but I kind of think they had to win to get up 3-1. Now that it's 2-2 back at Oklahoma City, I'm thinking, I don't know, I think it's going to be tough for them. I see them kind of losing tonight, and then it's tough to beat them two straight games. And they already did that, though. They did do that to get up 2-1. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. Who won game one? Did the Pacers win? The Pacers won game one, right? Pacers won game one, now that I think about that. But either way, the point is, I think maybe the Pacers, that was their chance. Like, the Thunder are just a better team, I think. But tonight we'll see one game, one series go to 3-2. And of course we have the other series, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. And that is also 3-2 now in favor of Florida. Do you get the same sense, Josh, that Edmonton kind of had to win that game? Maybe like it might be a little too tough now for them to win two straight against the Panthers.
I don't know if they necessarily had to win that game, but they couldn't lose it the way they did. Like, they just went in there and got the doors blown off. Like, it was just one of those games where it was very unconvincing from Edmonton. And, you know, I think if they lose that game 3-2 and it's close right down to the end or something like that, like, not necessarily that scoreline, but like a one-goal game where they're in it the whole time and it's back and forth, that's a lot different than losing 5-2 and having your goalie, your other goalie, your backup goalie kind of get blown out a little bit. And it's not all on the goaltender, but when you look at the options they have right now with whether it's Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickard, it's not looking very good for their chances here. And that's where I look to, you know, how is, and everyone's been saying this, but how are McDavid and Draisaitl going to get this team to respond? And I don't know if they can after a loss like that going back to Florida. Like, it's going to be tough.
No doubt. I agree with that. Did you see the report over the weekend about Mitch Marner? Did you see that report over the weekend?
Yeah, that kind of changes things. That's a big, big bombshell.
I mean, the report is basically what? That he's done, all right? There was a report that he is definitely out of Toronto. Now, look, we've seen reports before. They don't have to be correct. It could be posturing on either side. I'm not really sure about it. I got to go and look exactly who had this report. I want to make sure. But wasn't that the report that's basically he's done? He's going to play for another team.
Yep, it was from Andy Strickland on
there you go,
Twitter.
Andy Strickland.
And yeah, I mean, if that's true, which, I mean, Strickland's had a lot of reports that are true before, then that changes things dramatically for, you know, the next 15 days or so, because we're coming up to July 1st now. So it's going to change things a lot if that's a true report. And it's also reported that he's looking for a shorter deal. Elliot Friedman was talking about that on his podcast. He might be looking for a 4-year deal, kind of like what Matthews did. his last contract. Rather than signing the big long-term deal now, he could maybe sign a contract for a shorter one for 4 or 5 years and then get another big deal after that in his 30s. But, I mean, I don't know if that changes his destination, but, you know, that right. could change the price of the contract for a team that might not have as much cap space to sign him to a long-term deal. They could maybe try to sign him to a shorter one for less, a little bit less money. He's still going to get over $10 million, I think. But, you know, it definitely changes things and how things may go.
It's funny the reaction from Leafs fans when you see the report. If you go to the comments or if you just type in Mitch Marner and you kind of scroll through, and I've done this, like, if, obviously, he's been a really great Leaf, right, in the regard of how talented he is and the goals and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we talked to Carlo Colaiacovo a few weeks ago, and he's like, yeah, this guy's kind of, and I think he might have said in a way, like, he's underappreciated. Like, he's just been terrific, and, you know, he's better with them on the team. They're better with him than without him. But Leafs fans are interesting because this is what you go through, the stages of when you lose a great player, if you do lose a great player. I think maybe we've gone through this in Buffalo in some way, shape, or form, but when a player is leaving your team, it's like immediately, well, that's fine because I don't want to overpay for that guy, right? And that's, you see a lot of that. I saw someone posting memes, like a meme of like, oh, here's all these GMs rushing to overpay Mitch Marner. Glad it's not going to be the Leafs, right? You see that. And of course you hear about his maybe laziness as a defender, which, oh, by the way, he was also again getting votes for the Selkie this year. I mean, right? This guy, the things about Marner are people saying, and then as a defender, and yet he gets votes every year seemingly for the Selkie. You see all of that that's starting to come out. And then you do have some of these fans who are, you know, upset, no doubt about that as well. So it's kind of funny watching that reaction from afar. And I think it's just kind of you prepare yourself emotionally for that, which is how you get to, okay, I don't want him anyway. And then it talks about, and then you get to, okay, if that's the case, what about Tavares? What's going to happen with him? What about, are they going to go out and get and sign Sam Bennett? That's been the big thing, Josh, is, okay, that's fine. Let Marner go. We're just going to sign Sam Bennett anyway, right? Or maybe even Marchand.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a decent consolation prize with Sam Bennett. Obviously,
yes.
Like, it's not Mitch Marner, but it would be quite the player to sign for sure, especially if, let's say, he wins the Stanley Cup. Like, hey, Stanley Cup champion Sam Bennett is coming here, you know? Like, it's not the best case scenario, but it's better than not having anyone at all, right? Like, that's kind of where we're at this point in the game.
803-0550 is the number to call. Let me set up the show for you a little bit more today as we go on here. We've talked about a few things that have happened over the weekend, and you're free to chime in on, you know, whatever kind of you want today. A lot going on in sports, right? U.S. Open golf. This is a way for me to get to the first six, I guess. What is going on here? I'm kind of confused. Why are they only announcing six people on each of the Olympic teams, Josh? Do we know? Do you know the reason behind this? I have not researched this or know this. There's a list of six players for each of the Olympic hockey teams, Germany, Sweden, Finland. They've done this. We have yet to hear from the United States and Canada, but why are they only listing six people so far right now?
To be honest, I'm not really sure either why it's only six.
Okay.
It started this morning. The IIHF was just posting thing. Like, when I got here, it started getting posted because it's kind of, you know, worldwide and all that. So they post at random points of the day. But so far right now, we have Sweden, Italy, Finland, Latvia, Switzerland, Czechia, and Germany, like, and Slovakia. So it's getting there. They released a list of teams that would announce it today, and the U.S. and Canada are on there. But I don't really know why it's only six players. It might be those are the six players that are for sure, like, for sure playing.
Yeah.
And then the
for
teams
sure.
are
like,
going to...
Well, that is part of it. They are for sure. But I mean, like, do they not know any other... Okay, here's an example. Like, we're pretty sure J.J. Paterka is going to play for Germany, right? But yet, J.J. Paterka not among the six guys listed.
That's the biggest shock of the morning so far, in my opinion. Because you look at the guys that are listed, and obviously Leon Draisaitl is going to play. Tim Stützle in from Ottawa, he's a great talent. He's going to play. Same with Moritz Seider. And Philip Grubauer is a great goaltender. He's going to be on that team. But then the other two guys, not to say that they shouldn't be there, but Nico Sturm and Lucas Reichel, they are second-year players in the NHL. Maybe, I think Sturm is even in his first year still. And they're not all that talented yet. It's not like they're, you know, top five picks or anything like that. It's like they're just kind of good German players you expect to be on the team, but they're not guys you would expect to be announced in the first six. Peterka is a guy you expect to be announced in the first six, and he's not, which is just kind of really weird. I don't know if it has anything to do – I don't think it has anything to do with what's going on with the Sabres, but, like, I just am baffled that he's not in this first six. I don't think he won't play, but I just can't imagine why he wouldn't be one of their first guys they pick.
Right, it just seems a bit odd. The one Sabre we know that has been chosen is Rasmus Dahlin. I've not seen another one come across, correct?
No, that's the only one so far. And I don't even think there's former Sabres yet, really. Oh, Zemgus Girgensons. Sorry.
Yeah, in Latvia. Zemgus Girgensons.
Yep.
For Latvia, which makes sense, obviously. But yeah, I have not... I haven't seen any other Sabres come across, just Rasmus Dahlin, but J.J. Peterka, very interesting. This is kind of the summer of J.J. Peterka a little bit, isn't it? For people like us, talk radio or what's going on. It's just a lot of wondering what's going to happen. His name now has been floated out. There was also, how about this? I think beginning of the weekend, right? A report over the weekend about how the Calgary Flames are interested in both, Marco Rossi and J.J. Peterka. Did you see that one?
I did see that one too. That's an interesting, bit of this saga now, is what teams are going to start to show interest in him and things like that. And, the Rossi stuff has been out for a while now, but I think with Peterka specifically, now that the Sabres, according to Friedman, are going to start listening to offers more than they were before, you're going to kind of see teams that are really pushing for it come out now in the next week or so, which is definitely going to open some doors and open some potential trade ideas that some people are going to love and some people are going to hate.
Yeah, so J.J. Peterka's name is out there as far as teams being interested, as far as would the Sabres want to move him to, shake up and bring in, maybe someone on the blue line or hopefully not prospects, right? I think that's not something they necessarily need. They have the ninth pick overall, but it's also his name is out there because he's an RFA. And well, if the Sabres don't trade him, what does that look like? What kind of contract is he going to be, in for? A lot going on this weekend. You want to chime in on that? But also, I have a question for you today, because we're going to have today at 11 a.m. Matt Bove join us. Now, Matt is obviously the co-host of the podcast we do together called It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. So Matt and I have that going on, but I'm going to bring him on for something a little bit different today. Matt has a series that's starting this week over at WKBW TV Channel 7 that I know he put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in and talked to a lot of people, and I've seen a preview of it. It's absolutely fantastic. And the series is about the current Highmark Stadium and this being the last year, closing down, moving into a new one, and memories. And I threw out there on Twitter/X, at Sal Sports. There you go. Eichel named... Somebody said Eichel named a Team USA. I don't think we've seen Team USA, right? I don't think we've seen that. That has not come out yet, unless I just missed it, unless it didn't last a little while. There's nothing in the top six, Nick, from Team USA yet. Let me see. Let me go here, unless this just happened in the last few minutes. We have Denmark. Denmark just came over 53 seconds ago. Slovakia was 51. So every hour, it looks like Denmark has Frederik Andersen. So yeah, no former Sabres I can see there. So thanks, Nick, but Eichel has not been to Team USA as far as I know yet. Maybe that's already been out there in some way, shape, or form. Thank you for that. All right, so what's going to happen is Matt Bove is going to join me at 11 o'clock. We are going to talk about his series that he has put a lot into on the current stadium. I hate calling it the old stadium. It's not old yet. They're still playing there. And hopefully, I would say, how many home games this year? 9 home games this year. So hopefully 11 total, right, is what we're looking at. Maybe even 12, but hopefully 11, because then you get to an AFC championship game after a divisional round game. And I was one of the people that Matt interviewed for this, but one of many, many, many people who have played there, coached there. I'm talking about inside the stadium. Played, coached, attended, been in the front office for, whatever. Anything. And Matt's got a great series coming up on WKBW TV Channel 7. He's going to tell us all about it at 11 a.m. and kind of what struck him and some of the things that you can see and hear when this series hits the airwaves. I've seen some of it. It's really, really cool. It's really cool. So I'll let Matt kind of do that for you at 11 a.m. All right. We also have Sal Majorana. That's right. His weekly Monday appearance. Sal Majorana joining me at 10:30 a.m. This is not going to be pretty when Sal talks about the Yankees and Red Sox and the Yankees overall, because the Yankees got swept. It is the first time they've been swept all season, and it's the first time they've been swept by the Red Sox in 2 years, and it wasn't pretty. It did not look good. They lost one after a not hitting the ball all game, and then Judge gets a home run in the bottom of the ninth, and they lose in the 10th anyway. Lost yesterday 2-0, couldn't hit the ball. Lost on Friday night. So Sal's going to join me, but it's not just about that. How about the trade? Massive trade yesterday after the Yankees play the Red Sox, after Rafael Devers hits a home run over the Green Monster. The Red Sox trade basically their best player, Rafael Devers, at least their best hitter. They trade him to the San Francisco Giants. And there's a lot that's kind of the background of this, of once they signed Alex Bregman, that they wanted him to switch positions. He's been at odds with the front office. And apparently the Red Sox and Rafael Devers have not been on the same page for quite a while. And that has led to the Red Sox trading Rafael Devers yesterday to the San Francisco Giants for basically like three pitchers and a prospect, four pitchers. I think it's what it was total. So we'll get with Sal on that. Sal Majorana is going to join me here at 10:30 a.m. The question I have for you that I'd like you to answer today as we go forward with Matt, do you have a favorite Bills game memory that you attended? Now, it could be something, of course. We've done this like, hey, I attended with my dad and, you know, he's no longer around. And obviously, you know, that's a great, you know, memory that you were with that person. I kind of want to focus more about like the on-field games that you were at. And like, man, that was just a great game to be at, because this happened or that happened, and it was just electric in that stadium. Obviously, the comeback comes to mind. If you were to ask and poll, I don't know, 100,000 Bills fans, 1,000 Bills fans, whatever, like, what's the greatest game inside the stadium, the game that mattered the most, a game you attended, even? I think the comeback would win number one, right? The greatest comeback in NFL history, 1992 wild card, January of 93, the Bills are down 35-3. They come back against the Houston Oilers. Yes, I think that would be number one. I think the one that I choose would be right up there as well. 51-3 against the Raiders for a totally different reason. It was not a comeback. It was not stressful whatsoever, other than the first maybe 90 seconds of the game, I think. Whatever. I think the Raiders were up 3-0, in fact. And then the Bills came down and scored 41 straight points. It might have been 3-0. Maybe it was 7-3. But either way, it was early on, Raiders had scored. Bills up 41-3 at halftime. We know they're going to the Super Bowl. It's a party, right? We have that. We have the perfect game from just a few years ago against the New England Patriots. You also have against the Patriots in 2011. There's just been so many great games over the years. Does one stand out to you that you attended? That you're like, that was just a special game that serves as a great memory for me. Doesn't have to be even the best game ever played. It was just a great memory for you being inside that stadium on the field. Let's go to Jonathan in Batavia starting us off. Hi, Jonathan. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for the show. My two favorite Bills memories of games that I attended, it was back-to-back and ironic. The first one was in 2013 against Carolina, which ended with a E.J. Manuel walk-off touchdown to Stevie Johnson. And then the very next game I attended was the next year against Minnesota, the Kyle Orton walk-off touchdown to Sammy Watkins. So it's 2014.
Wow.
So those two games I attended back-to-back.
I love it. I love it. I could tell you I had a different, very different perspective, Jonathan, for both those games. Number one, 2013, I was not on the sidelines yet, but I was in the radio booth with the radio crew, and I was helping out with stats. And I remember being there, and I remember when Ron Rivera decided to kick the field goal instead of get a yard to win the game. He kicks the field goal, and of course, the Bills go down. They get helped by pass interference, but I'm up in the radio booth. And then for the Sammy Watkins game, there's pictures everywhere of me like looking right at Watkins' feet. He was coming right at me, right at the goal line. Bam, I saw that. That was my first year on the sidelines for the Bills, and that was very, very cool to be in that stadium when that happened. And on that drive, if you remember, it was down the middle. I think Scott Chandler might have caught it on a fourth down. Like, how did the Bills convert it? Like, down the middle. Crazy. But, yeah, thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that memory from you. Two really good ones. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. We have a lot of people who are chiming in on Twitter, and you are more than welcome to do that as well. W Fed says, don't remember the year, but the Bills beat the Dolphins on Monday Night Football and fans took down the goalposts. Monday Night Football goalposts? Yeah, I mean, they took down the goalposts. Was the Monday Night Football game they did that? Might have been really early on. First time I remember goalposts coming down and knowing it happened at the stadium was 1980, though, which was not a Monday Night game. And then it happened again against the Dolphins after they clinched a division 1 year. Brandon in Ransomville. What's up, Brandon?
Hello?
Hi, Brandon. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. The snow game against the Colts was a fun one. Just it was all tailgate. It was beautiful, sunny, and then right around the beginning of the game, it just turned around and snow falling.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. I ended up winning the game on, I believe, a LeSean McCoy rushing touchdown.
They did, and that was 2017. And you know, if the Bills don't win that game, they never break the drought that year. They don't make
That's
the playoffs.
That's a very
yeah,
good
and
point.
You remember. And you remember, Brandon, what happened in that game? There was a controversial two-point conversion pick play called against the Colts, I believe. And they took 2 points off the board, and then they went for an extra point and missed it. I think that was what happened in that game. And everything kind of fell in line for the Bills that game. Man, good memories here. That's great. LeSean McCoy in the snow. He's always been so good in the snow. And yes, that game, I have pictures on my phone still of how that game was, the field was kind of green, and the turf was out, and then suddenly, bam, the snow starts coming. And it's just covered by the end of the game. Let's go to one more this segment, then we'll hit Sal Mayer on at 10:30. Sean in Niagara Falls. Sean, what do you got for me?
Hi, Sal. Good morning. Pleasure to be on with you.
You got
it. My greatest memory is the first game my dad ever took me to. And if I'm not mistaken, it was against Miami, I think. And that was the game Jerry Butler broke his leg and never played again.
1986, I believe, in the end zone, catches the touchdown, and he breaks his leg, and he never plays. That's right. Hey, Sean, you know what's – Jerry Butler was my favorite player growing up. I was a wide receiver, so that's why I wore number 80 as a kid in high school.
Same.
How about that?
Same.
I love it.
Exact reason I started liking the Bills, Sal.
I love it, Sean. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Great memory. Great call to end the segment. We will have Sal Mayerana coming up next. I tweeted out, it's not going to be pretty hearing Sal talk about the Yankees. He quote tweeted and said, no, it's not. He is fired up to talk about the Yankees and what they did not do against the Boston Red Sox over the weekend. Plus a big trade by the Red Sox. And it wasn't just the Yankees. The Mets got swept this weekend. In fact, go through. We were watching this morning. Max and I were watching before school on SportsCenter, like some baseball highlights. And it seemed like every single thing they showed was, this team swept, and that team swept, and another team swept. And I'm like, oh, my God, like there's just sweep after sweep after sweep for baseball this weekend. All right, we will take a timeout here. We will come back, and when we do, we'll have Sal Mayerana from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle and also Pinstripe People, the newsletter. I don't wonder what that's going to read like over the next couple of days from the Yankees. But we're going to talk baseball. We get our weekly appearance from Sal Mayerana up next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, we're still waiting on USA and Canada for their first six, is what they're calling it, players to be announced for next year's Olympic team. We have a bunch of countries already that have announced their first six. That's been happening this morning. NHL, if you go to their Twitter feed, people have been retweeting it, though, at NHL, you can check that out. 803-0550, the number to call. We've been asking you about your favorite Bills on-field memories at the current Highmark Stadium, because Matt Bove is going to join me at 11 to preview his series, An Oral History, A Video History, on WKBW Channel 7, talking about all of that. In the meantime, all right, here we go, folks. After this weekend, what happened between the Yankees and Red Sox, I know you're not going to want to miss, especially you Yankee haters, a lot of you out there. Sal Majorana, who joins me right now on the West Her Hotline. You can follow him on X at Sal Majorana. And, of course, sign up for his free Yankees newsletter, Pinstripe People. Sal, I have to warn you and remind you, this is an FCC-regulated show. If you swear, we will all be in trouble. So please try not to do that. But good morning to you, and happy belated Father's Day.
Well, same to you, Sal. Happy Father's Day. It really wasn't a very good Father's Day if you were a Yankees fan watching that debacle of a weekend, and I will try to keep it clean here. In my newsletter, I don't always keep it clean. You've read it.
There were
a numerous couple words there that aren't for radio, but yeah, what a horrible weekend. They were just so bad. Very frustrating because it's Boston. I mean, if it's any other team, yeah, you're aggravated, but because it was the Red Sox, and they just thoroughly, I thought, embarrassed the Yankees. Yeah, it was just horrible baseball. But Sal, there was a tremendous silver lining at the end of this series.
Yes, there was.
I mean, it made me smile when the Red Sox traded the face of evil, Rafael Devers. That was nice.
Yeah, he has been a Yankee killer. I mean, there's been certain guys over the years who are just Yankee killers. He has been one of them. I want to get to the Devers trade, but let me just ask you what happened to the Yankees. Is it as simple for you in a lot of ways of, hey, look, if Aaron Judge isn't hitting, then they're losing because he has to hit for this lineup to work?
Well, you know, the thing was, Sal, the first 2 months of the season, that wasn't necessarily true. I mean, he's been great the
right
whole year, so I guess we really haven't seen the proof of this, but they have been a pretty good offensive team. And in many ways, I think they've been a little bit better than they were last year when they went to the mm-hmm. World Series. They've got a deeper lineup. They've got a few more guys who can make contact and get the ball in play, and it really hadn't been an issue until this weekend. And then, yeah, Judge goes into an absolute, I don't even know what it was, a coma, it seemed like, for the really going back to Thursday against the Royals. Their offense has just done nothing, And if Judge isn't hitting, yeah, somebody else has to pick it up, and nobody did. And they scored four runs at Fenway in three games. I mean, that's almost impossible to do. And as a matter of fact, it was the fewest runs they had scored at that place in a three-game series since 1922. So it was pretty unbelievable what happened this weekend.
They had not been swept all year. I mean, that's a really nice thing to say, hey, look, whenever they have been down 2-0 in a series, they bounce back, they get the final win. They did get finally swept. And look, the big picture is they are still up by quite a few games. But is that more of a product of what is behind them in the AL East right now and what you see from some of these teams and the Yankees maybe being a little bit fortuitous? Yes, they played well, but they're also not in a division that's really challenged them right now.
Well, but I would beg to differ on that, though, because things are starting to change. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I believe the Yankees were the only team above 500, and all of a sudden, the Rays and the Jays have gotten really hot. The Rays just went into Citi Field and swept the Mets this weekend. Now, the Jays did just get swept by the Phillies, but before that, they were really starting to play well. So now, the lead is only 3.5 games. I mean, the Yankees were up 7.5 games like 10 days ago. They've already seen four games shaved. So it's starting to tighten up. The AL East, I think, got off to a collective bad start, but they're, you know, even the Red Sox now are starting to play better. And the even the Orioles have started to play better. So things are getting a little tougher in the division. The Yankees have got to, they've got to dust themselves off. They're at home this week. They got to play better and get back on track here.
Yeah, 3.5 game lead over the Rays. They're now playing still 600 baseball. They have the Angels now coming to town, and that's a team that they need to bounce back against. You're right. Speaking of L.A., though, Ohtani's going to be pitching. What do you expect from Ohtani on the mound over with the L.A. Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's starting tonight against the Padres, and I would guess, Sal, he'll pitch an inning or two. I think they're going to go very slowly with him. Just get him back out there. You know, they have the luxury because, you know, MLB changed the rule. You can only have 13 pitchers, but they've kind of made an exception, almost an addendum to that rule concerning Ohtani, because he is officially classified as a two-way player. It's kind of a unique situation, but they're not burning a roster spot. He is their 14th pitcher, so they have the luxury. You know, they're not losing a pitcher roster spot. They have the luxury of using him very little just to get him back into the groove of pitching. So I think it's a good thing for them, but I'm not expecting him to go too deep in any of these first, whatever it's going to be, a handful of starts before he finally, you know, he hasn't pitched for 2 years. So they're going to take it slow with him, and he'll be the primary DH, you know, moving forward, obviously.
Sal Majorana on the West Her Hotline. All right, let's get to it. Why did the Red Sox trade their best player, Rafael Devers?
Well, you know, it started in spring training. Everyone knows that they went and signed Alex Bregman and basically told him he's their third baseman because he's a much better third baseman than Rafael Devers. But what aggravated Devers was that they said, hey, you're going to be a DH. Forget about playing third base. And he didn't like that. Now, you know, he had just signed a $300 million contract, and I think that was the previous regime. That was not Craig Breslow, who's their current GM. And I think at that time he was told, yeah, you're our third baseman for the next 10 years. So this whole thing with Bregman came up, and I think it soured the relationship. And then he exacerbated it by when they asked him, what, a month ago, hey, because Tristan Casas got hurt, their first baseman. And they asked him, hey, we want you to learn to play first base and not just be a sole DH. And he sort of said no. I mean, a lot of guys wouldn't have said no. A lot of guys would have been team players and tried to do it, but he was aggravated with the Red Sox organization, and I think the relationship just went totally south from there, and they explored trade options, and they sent him off to San Francisco, which, as Yankee fans like you and I are, Sal, like I said, yesterday when that happened, I was in the middle of writing the lead to my newsletter, and I was ranting and raving, believe me. And then all of a sudden I saw that pop up on Twitter, and I'm like, well, there's a silver lining to a bad weekend. Get that guy as far away from the Yankees as possible. And they did. I mean, he is gone out of the division. He's right out of the American League. He's been terrorizing them for 7 years, Sal. So, yeah. I mean, this is a great day for the Yankees to get rid of him. And they really, you look at the trade, I don't think they got – it doesn't seem like they got a whole lot for him. It's very similar to when they traded Mookie Betts. That seemed like a one-sided trade at the time, and it proved to be true. Betts has been a superstar, and the guys they got did nothing. So, yeah, I'm thrilled, and I'm also very surprised that it happened.
I don't know much about these guys. Kyle Hamilton, like over a 4 ERA, I think, but it just – I'm reading comments from other people, and I'm reading that people are pretty upset in Boston that they kind of didn't get much on the return here. How do you see it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Kyle Harrison. He's a left-handed pitcher.
Harrison, sorry.
Yeah, he's been a good prospect for them, but I think his career ERA is like 4.56 or something, so he hasn't exactly been gangbusters. You know, Jordan Hicks is a guy, I think he started his career with the Cardinals, and he was just a flamethrower. They ended up trading him to the Giants, and he's been okay, but he's certainly not a top echelon guy. And then they got two prospects who we'll see. I mean, I have no idea who the guys are. I know their names. I have no idea what they're going to do. So, you know, it's a 4-for-1 deal. The biggest thing for the Red Sox is that they got the Giants to take the entire contract, which is still worth about $250 million. So really, in the long run, that opens up their payroll, and they can do some more things moving forward, like maybe even get Alex Bregman to re-sign. I mean, he's got an opt-out at the end of the year. So now they've got some money to play with. So down the road, you know, maybe they're going to fill in their roster and be a better team. But right here in the here and now, when they are just starting to play well and get themselves back into it, they do this move, and it can't be good in the short term for them. And I'm sure a Red Sox fan, a buddy of mine's a Red Sox fan, he texted me last night. We were going back and forth. He was livid. He just could not believe that they would do this trade. So I'm sure they're pissed off in Boston.
All right, so I'm going to have Matt Bove coming up at 11 a.m. He's got a great, great video and oral series on the current Highmark Stadium closing down this year. So we're asking people today, and I've been asking people for their favorite on-field memories. You've seen a lot of football in that stadium. Give me a couple that stand out to you, on-field memories for the Buffalo Bills and games.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Matt interviewed me. I was one of the guys he interviewed, so it was fun to be a part of it. And yeah, I mean, I go back to day one, Sal, and I told Matt, I mean, I was there for the very first game, the preseason game in 1973. And like you said, I've seen as much football as pretty much anybody in the area at that stadium as a fan when I was a kid, and then obviously covering the team for 40 some years. Yeah, I've got a lot of memories. I mean, as a fan, my number one memory was 1980, opening day when they beat the Dolphins, ended the 20-game losing streak. Fans stormed the field. I'll never forget driving home from that game with my buddies. We're on Route 5 going back to North Buffalo, and fans are pulled off on the side of the road, you know, lifting beers, drinking, celebrating. It was just such a party, one of the greatest days in that stadium's history. And then, obviously, as a professional covering the team, I still say my number one memory was the AFC Championship, the first one, when they killed the Raiders. That was such a momentous day because it meant they were going to their first Super Bowl. There's been incredible games. I could name 20 games that were incredible. But when you ask me for a memory, that feeling that we had in the media and the fans out in the stands knowing the Bills were going to their first Super Bowl and the way they did it was something I'll never forget.
No doubt about it. And, of course, you know, one season left. Have you thought about the way it ends this year? I mean, there is a game that's scheduled at the end of the year, but I think we're all expecting, boy, if that's the last game, something seriously went wrong this year, and who knows how it's going to end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping the dream, of course, is that they host the AFC Championship game, because then we know that is the last game to be played in the AFC that year. So you hope that's going to happen. And let's face it, I think the Bills, you know, we haven't talked too much Bills here, but I think the Bills have a great chance this year, Sal. I'm optimistic about this team. I really like what they've done in the off season, and this, to me, this might be the team that finally gets over the hump and gets to the Super Bowl. You know, the Chiefs are still going to be a problem, the Ravens, but I like this Bills roster. If they stay healthy, Allen plays the way a league MVP should play, we might very well see that last game being the AFC Championship. And what a what a tremendous way it would be to send that stadium out.
I would love it. Absolutely love it. All right, Sal, everybody needs to subscribe to the newsletter. It's absolutely free. It's called Pinstripe People. You can find it right on his Twitter page. It's pinned right there, Sal Majorana. You can go there. And what are you writing? What are you saying? Are you writing about this trade? Are you writing about just the series looking ahead? Like, kind of what's the tone of, you know, today or the last couple of days?
Yeah, I wrote the lead, you know, ranting and raving about the sweep, obviously. But then the second half of the lead was obviously, as I said, the silver lining. And then in the newsletter, as you know, because you get it, I recap every game. And I have quotes in there and all kinds of great statistical, plus my analysis of each game. So, you know, I put a lot of work in it. It was funny. I just got an email from a guy this morning, Sal, and he said to me, he's a subscriber, and he says, Sal, I need to pay you for this. I feel bad that I'm getting this for free. And I said, hey, I appreciate it, but it's going to stay free for a while. I'm glad people enjoy it because I do put a lot of work into it. But, yeah, that's what I do. I just recap every game, and then I have a lead story that kind of recaps the whole series. And today it was quite a chore because the Devers thing kind of threw a wrench into my raving, as I said. So it ends up on a good note.
No doubt. And that's why we love having you on to promote it. It's a free newsletter. He puts a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it. Go check it out, Pinstripe People. Thanks a lot, Sal. Hopefully better times ahead for the Yankees next time we chat.
Yeah, they got a nice week this week at home. You're going Friday, right? Going to the Orioles game Friday.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know anything about that right now. So confirm or deny nothing.
I'm going Sunday morning. They're playing a morning game, the Roku game of the week. So my son and I are going to go 11:30 in the morning, and looks like it's lining up for Will Warren. So I'm not too pleased about that. They're playing the Orioles, who are starting to come around. Should be good.
Yeah, should be. And tonight they take on the LA Angels. Thanks a lot, buddy. We'll catch up again very soon, next week.
All right, Sal. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. That is Sal Majorana of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. We will take a timeout. When we come back, we will preview and get ready for Matt Bove. Got a couple more tweets from a lot of you on your favorite on-field game memory for the Buffalo Bills in current Highmark Stadium.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some really good responses coming in on X at Sal Sports on your favorite current Highmark Stadium Bills on-field memory. And I think some of you have massaged it a little bit, which is fine. Looking for a game that you just remember because of what happened on the field. Like, oh my God, it was amazing. The comeback game, obviously, 51-3, but just the atmosphere in the stadium. Not necessarily the personal like relationships, but yes, that's part of it, right? I wanted to focus more on like the on-field product. And one of them is kind of goes a little bit to both, which is Diehard Dan says the power outage game. Remember that, everybody? Against the Chargers, ironically, Rhodes was right, the Chargers. Get it with the name. In 2008, the main transformer at the stadium blew up. It was pure football, no disruptions, no advertising, just watching old school football the way it should be played. It was one of the most unique games I've ever been to at that stadium. Yes, if you remember right, what happened was some helium balloons outside the stadium hit a transformer and knocked the power out all throughout that area. And I was living in Florida at the time in 2008. And I remember like the game wasn't on TV till like very late. I think they finally got the power restored. The game came on late on TV. But here's a good question. Someone writes and tweets back at Dan. Jeff says, so there were no TV breaks. I don't know that. It's a good question. If you were at the 2008 game against the Chargers, and maybe somebody in the industry can remind me and tell me they were working. I know a lot of people listen who actually have worked behind the scenes at a lot of these games in radio and TV. At the 2008 Chargers game, did they actually take TV timeouts on the field when the TV broadcast was not airing? I would think they would, but I don't know. And the reason I think they would is I think just because of routine and what you do in a game. You never know when the game comes back on, and because the players get that extra break. I don't know, though. Maybe it is all about TV and like, hey, we're not on TV. Don't do it. Something I haven't talked about much is the COVID year in that stadium. And, you know, that's something I'll bring up with Matt about that, which is being in that stadium during the COVID year when I was one of the only people in the stadium was just wild and weird. And not being able to be even on the field, though, because of, you know, the rules and regulations. I was in the stands in what they call the moat and watching the game from there, doing the radio broadcast and being in that state. But then during the playoffs, that's when some of the best memories happen, like particularly the Taron Johnson pick six against the Ravens, right? Colts that year in the playoffs. So, yeah, good stuff. And a lot more coming your way from Matt Bove, WKBW TV Channel 7. He has a video and oral history of the current Highmark Stadium that's going to start airing this week on Channel 7. He's going to tell us all about it and a lot more up next in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.